When he finally arrives from the sky, as our children would say, as Connor would say, when he finally arrives blazing in glory and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what is coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then those sheep who are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Then he will turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, "Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell." And why? "Because I was hungry, and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was homeless, and you gave me no bed. I was shivering, and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison, and you never visited." Then those goats are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?" And he will answer them, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who is being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me." I would like to invite Adam Kravitz to come forward right now. We'll share. Okay. I'll be, okay.
Good morning.
Adam, it is just an honor to welcome you here today. I want to introduce Adam, first of all. He is the director of Outsiders Inn and himself familiar with the role of outsider. Adam lived homeless for 6 years here in Vancouver, and he is now a community activist. I will let him talk to you a little bit about what Outsiders Inn is, but I will tell you that I went to visit Adam this week at his place, and I'm still kind of processing what happened exactly, but there was a moment in which I stopped being a visitor and started being a part of a community that is really quite unique and beautiful. And so I want to thank you, Adam, for your spirit of hospitality and warmth, and tell you how glad I am that you're here. So God is quite clear in the scriptures about our need, our mandate to welcome people who are visitors and travelers. God doesn't say ever, "Welcome visitors as long as it's not an inconvenience to you." And I have struggled with this mandate from God myself for a really long time. I had a very close family member who himself was homeless for several years, and he was lost during those times, lost to me. And so when I thought about welcoming people who were unhoused, I thought of all the grief and all the guilt and all the anger that I had about that time in my own family's journey. And so it sometimes has been hard for me to rise above those own personal feelings that I have in understanding God's mandate to us. But Adam is helping me. So I would like you to tell a little bit about your story, if you're willing, Adam, and just tell us a little bit about where you come from and where you're going and what your hopes are right now.
Well, I reflect on when you said
this has to go way up by you. I'm sorry.
Like it's karaoke time,
right?
Okay. So when you asked me the other day to share a little bit of my story, I reflected on that because people always say, share what you feel comfortable telling me about. And really, honestly, my gut says, if I'm going to share, you're going to hear it all. And you're going to hear the stuff that makes you uncomfortable. And that's the important part. That's the part we really need to speak about. So I had a childhood. It was bad. It was bad upon, you know, as far as you want to take your imagination. But we, my brothers, my family, we came out of that and we started having lives regardless. You go through bad things and then you still try to make sense of life. But I got to a point in my later years when I finally started to grow up, I don't know, I was about 38 maybe, and both my brothers struggled with addiction their whole life. So eventually their addiction caught up with them, and I lost both my brothers a year apart. And so that was very devastating, because when you go through something, when you go through hell with people, and then you lose them, the grief is twice as much, I'd say. Not long after that, about a year and a half after that, I started struggling myself, and I was in a new relationship, and so unfortunate circumstances happened, and I lost my fiance and my child as well. So at that point, that was my breaking point, and no matter what I had endured in my life, I reached that breaking point. I immediately walked away from everything. So I had two cars, an apartment, $40,000 a year, a job, college education, I'm a veteran. I just, that day I walked away. And so I became that guy that you see walking down the street, yelling at people, talking to himself, mad at the world. I did not know God, had never known God. And at that point, I did some blaming. I blamed God. I blamed the world. I blamed everyone else. I couldn't understand why everything you love leaves you or disappears or gets taken. One day, I was at the off-ramp out here in Hazeldale. It's one of my favorite spots. I love Hazeldale. At one point, when I was homeless, I camped in the labyrinth. I was at the off-ramp, and I was holding a sign. I was one of those guys holding a sign that says, anything helps, you know. And I had a code. I would only put that sign out there when I was hungry. You know, it was the only reason I would ask for money is because I was hungry. And I had probably been there 3 hours, and no one had given me a single thing. And I knew it was because I was angry. I knew it was because I was looking at those cars like they owed me something. And I couldn't help it. So I was frustrated, and I walked away from holding the sign, and I was pacing back and forth underneath the off-ramp. And this gentleman and his two young daughters came up to me. They handed me some bags, and they said that his daughter had made him go back home and make me some food. And they made me some watercress sandwiches and zucchini bread, and it was all organic, and it was all beautiful, really good food. You know, cucumber sandwiches when you're at the off-ramp is like a beautiful thing. It really is. And the two daughters, one was older and one was younger, and the younger daughter, or the older daughter, was gonna give me a bag with some, it looked like some candy in it, and she said, don't open it till after we leave. And the dad looked at the daughter, and then the younger daughter says, she's got a surprise for him. She doesn't want to tell you what it is to the dad. And he's like, okay. And he trusts the older daughter that whatever she did was okay with him. And they left, and I opened it up, and it looked like she had given me her whole piggy bank. It was a $20 bill and a $1 bill, and it was all this change. But more importantly than that $20 bill was this card that it looked like they both did it, and it said that you're not alone. And yes, I cried like a baby at that off-ramp, and it dawned on me that that's what I was missing. I was missing that human connection. I was missing that somebody recognized me, somebody seen me, somebody wants to know who I am. And that's what happens. That's what happens to people when they become homeless. They lose their identity. And so one of the most important things that I think that, not that I think, that I do, and that is the basis of everything I do, is that we really want to emphasize individuals and emphasize relationships and emphasize communication. We don't want to hold people responsible for the circumstances that happened to them. And as long as homelessness is not a problem that we need to fix, homelessness is a symptom of individuals who have problems that we can help support and encourage to get to a better place. I don't know. Outsiders in, I knew when I was at that off-ramp that that if I was going to get people to think about things differently, I had to change their perception. And I knew that my perception before I became homeless was I'll never get like that. I'll never be that. And in a blink of an eye, in circumstances that were beyond my control, I did become that.
Adam, I want to thank you so much for telling your story like that. I think it really opens our hearts when we are able to build relationship with each other, like you say. And one of the things that I hear so often is that we're happy to help as long as there's a goal orientation, you know? And I'd like you to talk a little bit more about something that you mentioned about why we're compelled to give of ourselves or to serve, if not so that we can help a person who's addicted become unaddicted, or a person who's on the street move to a home, or a person who is hungry have a guaranteed food supply every time.
I think what we talked about was relationships. That's one of my favorite words. Like the girl in the story, which is a very true story and deep in my heart, and it's about providing hope. Hope is everything. So I use the analogy of when I came to this church today, I was greeted a bunch of times, and I was greeted warmly, and I was greeted genuinely. And if there's anything that you are going to provide to someone that's going to be long-lasting and impactful, it's going to be that. And not just the greeting. You have to go past that. You have to go to the amazing stories that people can tell you when you want to listen. Where we have a location now, I'm honored to be immersed in people's stories. And when you can find like genuine interest and love in people's stories, then everything else doesn't matter. It just doesn't. It doesn't matter if someone is dirty. It doesn't matter if they haven't showered in 2 weeks. It doesn't matter if they have voices in their head. It doesn't matter if you want to genuinely love someone, and love only requires time and interest and patience and transparency.
You're doing great. Thank you. One of the things we talked about on Friday is that I was expressing to you some of the concerns that I have and some of the concerns that others have expressed about what it means to be welcoming of overnight guests on our property specifically. So we heard a little bit about your story, and we know a little bit about the homeless issue in like a broad sense in Clark County and in Hazeldale even. But you and I talked about specifically what does it mean to welcome people here as overnight guests. And I think one of the concerns that many of us have, and especially those gazillions of you who were here working on the grounds yesterday, is that it can be kind of a mess, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if someone is here making a mess, like how do we address that? How do we...
So I have the same situation. So where we work out of, we provide, we let people camp on our sidewalk because it's legal within city limits to camp on the sidewalk from 9 to 6. And we have showers and bathrooms, and we have tables and chairs. And so how I deal with it personally is I've built up a relationship with an individual that says, here's the expectation. If you come and hang out here, you got to clean your mess up. You know, if you use the last of something, you got to throw it away. And everybody should pick a chore. Who's done a chore today? You know, it's just regular communication with a friend about, hey, I'm doing this for you. Can you do this for me? And it's not always perfect. You're always going to have individuals that forget to clean their mess up. You're always going to have individuals that aren't all the way used to being given something on a regular basis. That's something I find. I have to give people a few days to get acclimated back to the idea that somebody is actually providing something for me, and there's no expectation except I just have to be respectful. Normally, after a while, you get in this thinking of, I'm going to have to leave in a minute anyways, so I just take what I can get, and I have to go. So they're just giving me something to send me on my way, as opposed to what we provide is a location where people can hang out and feel okay. Now, as far as what the church, you know, wants to get on board doing something, I have seen very successful programs that have done huge amounts of work, and then I've seen... The point being is that this is an analogy I used the other day, and that was if you welcome a new parishioner into the church and they are sitting, right third row, and they have brought in a cup of coffee with them, and they happen to be uncomfortable and not know when to stand and sit, and then they spill their coffee, what happens? The church rallies behind that person, and they scoop up the coffee cup, and they clean up the mess, and somebody gets a napkin, and they make them feel like it's no big deal, and it really was no big deal. And so that's what I would hope that you would get a mental attitude behind if you were to decide as a church to allow two or three people to park here on an overnight basis. There might be a mess sometimes, and you help them clean it up, and you talk to them, and you have a relationship with them, and you welcome into your church. There's no difference between welcoming somebody into your parking lot and welcoming somebody into the chapel. There's no difference. And that's what I would hope you realize. And for them, those individuals who... We find that individuals in vehicles have a greater chance of getting back into housing than those without vehicles. So if you really want to get behind someone who is the closest to possibly getting some kind of stability, it would be the people in vehicles. And right now there are families in vehicles all over Clark County. And if this is something that the church wanted to get behind, supporting individuals, I've seen it turn into, I know in the last 6 months that we've been working strong on developing some of these programs, that about 50% of the people that people work with are going into housing, even though there's no vacancies, and even though it's the housing crisis. So people who are supported are getting housed, and that's the important part. So you don't know what a home-cooked meal in your vehicle in a parking lot where you're allowed to park, you don't know how beautiful that is. So I know for me, when a defining moment when I was living outside was when someone said, I rent this house and we have all this property and you can be on the very back part of our property and at least I know who's camping there. You know, at least I know it's you, and I've gotten to know you. So it was because of relationships and trust and communication that someone gave me permission to camp on their land. And once I had permission to camp on land, stability started to happen. And so it's the same thing when it comes to providing people spots here, that you will be able to develop relationships and support people and be part of a big part of the solution. Because the solution isn't necessarily in housing that one or two people. The solution is in changing your perspective and getting support and helping others change their perspective.
Adam, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for speaking from the heart. And thank you for providing a good groundwork for the conversation that will follow. There'll be lots of opportunity for us to engage in conversation. Adam will be with us at the potluck following. So I would invite you all to come as you are able. And I just would like to reflect on one last thing that you said, Adam, which is, you know, you were talking about people transitioning from homelessness into housing or transitioning from instability into stability. And it just made me think about the scripture that we read earlier. Jesus doesn't really talk anything about outcome. You know, he just talks about opening your heart and opening your mind to those that you see. And even though outcome isn't the goal, sometimes outcome is the result of that giving and that love and that care. So as we move into the rest of our worship and into communion with each other and into sharing a meal together, I would just invite you to hold that scripture in your heart and mind.